Oh my god, it's episode 34.
34!
This is Anna.
This is Shireen.
And this is Ethnically Ambiguous.
And today we're going to talk about, well, first we're going to catch up. And we're going to talk about what happened this week. Anna is very frustrated with some nut drama.
I'm learning torture techniques.
And then I'll talk to you about the Armenian genocide and some history behind that.
Yes, and I'm going to get into the background of our potentially new female CIA leader, Gina Haspel, and what she did to poor, poor, poor prisoners at Guantanamo. Why am I calling them poor? Whose side am I on?
And then we'll shout out some fans, because you guys are our favorite.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Shireen, the first night at bed when you left, Ron made out with two girls and put his head between a cocktail waitress's breasts, also was grinding with multiple fat women. When you left crying at Clutch, Ron was holding hands and dancing with a female and took down her number. Multiple people in the house know, therefore you should know the truth.
What?
Where did that quote come from, Shireen?
I only know this because I just saw the giant tapestry that you guys were hanging up in your office, and this is from the Jersey Shore, which I've never watched.
Yes, that is correct.
And I apologize for everyone else that's never watched the show.
So what I just read was a anonymous letter Snooki from Jersey Shore sent Sammy from Jersey Shore.
How do we know it's her if it's anonymous?
Because she wrote it on the show and then left it in her room. Like she was literally like typing on like a hotel computer with like long ass nails, like click 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 click. And she left it in Sam's room. Her and Snooki and JWoww composed it.
I don't know what any of those people are.
They're two infamous characters from Jersey Shore. Well, why do we start the show like that? Because it's true. We here at the office got a giant tapestry with that letter printed on it. So I'm
it's
very
the size
excited.
Of a like Shaquille O'Neal's bedsheet. That's how big it is. Yes, it's giant.
It's so wonderful. So I just wanted to start by reading that letter.
Well, you've just entered episode 34.
But one thing I want to say is that letter made her, Sammy, the girl who got the letter, even though the letter's about her boyfriend basically cheating on her, she got mad at Snooki over the letter. So her and Snooki got in a fight, even though the letter was
what
about
a bitch.
The boyfriend. Anyway, so well, that really goes to show where women's
bitches
priorities are.
Be bitches. But not all women. Not all men. Episode 34. We should make up another song. I always want to make up a clever song, but I never am clever enough on the spot. I'm also like really frazzled right now because I'm technically getting a blood test, which is what I told my work that I was doing.
Well, I am collecting your blood right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad I'm able to use my declining health as an excuse, because people take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you told them? You're like, hey, guys, my health is really declining.
I mean, I didn't say it in those words, but I said, I just have to get this blood test today.
And they said?
And they said, Godspeed. But I have to go to work after this.
You have to go back to work?
Yeah. Work never ends, man.
I have to fold my laundry after this.
Oh, cool.
Because I did do my laundry at work today.
Yeah, work is weird. Seth Rogen was in the office yesterday.
Oh, that's tight.
That was interesting.
Is he in the Commermer?
No, he's not.
Commermer
he
is short for commercial. And then just joking, I made that up.
But
what? He was just in the office?
Mm-hmm.
Doing what? Just hanging?
Well,
smoking token?
No, he might be signing a writing deal with this office that I'm at.
Hmm.
I can't say anything else.
Do you think he needs more writing deals? That's just me. Anyway.
No, I mean like representation or something like that. But
oh, fancy, fancy.
But fancy. Yeah, 34. What a what's in store for 34?
Not
34,
much.
34.
Still not much.
What's in store? Don't be a bore.
Not much.
Thank you. Sophie's clapping for me.
Not much is in store for 34 because I have a bit of a headache.
Oh, no.
But it's okay. I always have a headache. I had a bit of a fussy day. I've had a lot of fusses.
You are wearing, which I've just learned the meaning of a cold shoulder sweater, because your shoulders are exposed, because it's like a sweater, but like there's holes on your shoulders, so it's a cold shoulder. You're giving everyone the cold shoulder, Anna?
Yeah.
Are your shoulders cold?
They were earlier, actually.
Yeah.
But I've been very sensitive today. I've been throwing a fuss fest.
Oh, no.
At the office, and I've already threatened to quit 15 times.
That's less than usual, right?
Well, no, it's more than usual. I don't usually ever really threaten to quit.
I was joking.
But today, I got very frustrated, and I was like, you know what? I have bigger and better things ahead of me. And then, yeah.
And then you were like, JK, I'm still here.
Yeah, I just was having a bit of a day.
Well, I'm glad to be here with you.
My period's coming soon, so I am having a time in my life. Also, last night, let me tell you a little something about what happened last night. My expensive almonds went missing.
Your expensive almonds? How expensive are these almonds?
They're like $11 for a tiny little
case. Why do you buy these expensive
because
almonds?
Because I use them specifically for my cheese boards. I'm an aggressive cheese boarder, okay?
Aggressive
I have a specific jalapeno jelly that I buy for like $10 for a small thing in Northern California. I have a stockpile of them.
We've realized you have high taste.
No, I love cheese boards. I'm such a cheese board stan, I can't even. I have a really nice jalapeno jelly. It took me years to perfect the type of jelly I use on my cheese boards. And the day I found my jalapeno jelly, I never looked back. They're from Preserve, which is a tiny little like restaurant.
Not sponsored.
In Winters, California, which is a very tiny, tiny town that only has one stoplight.
Right.
I went out of my way to find this goddamn jalapeno jelly. And these nuts... Okay, let me tell you about my cheese board. I love some nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Almonds, specifically
almonds
roasted.
Almonds are the best nut.
Almonds are the best nut. Yes. And then I have like a sharp white cheddar or an herb goat cheese, if you will.
All cheese is evil to me. I'm lactose intolerant.
Yes, yes, well. Anyway.
You don't have any vegan cheeses on there?
No. No. No, we are not all inclusive. These almonds go so perfectly with, and it took me a while to find the perfect almond,
Don't you only have one roommate?
Yes, but I also have a boyfriend, so there's a lot of suspects on
the
list.
Two suspects.
Two suspects, both
maybe
deny it.
Maybe you sleepwalking.
Not possible. I am so hypersensitive to my almonds that I don't eat, like, I savor them. Like, it's such a small container that
Anna,
I only eat, like, a few at a time with
cheese.
Anna
is sensitive about her nuts.
Yes, very sensitive, especially when they're my perfect almonds / nuts. God, I'm just realizing how Persian I am.
our nuts.
Hyper vigilant towards my nuts.
Middle Easterners love their fucking nuts, man. If you go to any market in any Middle Eastern country, there's nuts everywhere, and there's stores dedicated to nuts.
And yes, I realize I'm my father. I get it, okay? But I know where every goddamn nut is in my house, and when it goes missing,
I have a good friend who's allergic to nuts, and I was just thinking the other day how tragic it would be.
I just lost it.
Have you ever met an Arab or a Persian allergic to nuts? Because that would be so tragic for every Arab or
Persian. I don't think that's legally allowed.
I don't think it's allowed. Because I eat, that's like the majority of my protein intake. It's just nuts, man.
Yeah, I eat nuts all day.
Yeah.
There's like a bowl of nuts on every table at my parents'
house. Oh yeah, oh yeah. At all times.
Like, I don't know what we would do if we didn't have nuts.
That's the centerpiece of life.
Yeah. Like, when you're bored, you're just like, I'll just have some nuts.
Yeah.
You need a snack, I'll just have some nuts.
Yeah.
But anyway, these almonds are expensive, so I treat them very, I don't eat them quick. Like, they're not a snack.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally to eat with my cheese and my jalapeno jelly on my cracker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah. I see.
And, the container went missing. Everyone's denying it. Can't find it anywhere. It's just very suspicious.
Okay.
I'm thinking of installing a nanny cam. I'm thinking of putting a GPS in the goddamn next one I buy. I swear to God, I will find who took it. And when I do, honey, you better wish.
I'm hoping that'll just, like, pop up in a different place than it usually is.
I don't know. Roommate acting real suspicious, being like, I don't know what you're talking about. But then offering to buy me some. It's like,
He probably ate them and then didn't realize how important they were to you. And now he's like, oh shit, I need to buy her some more.
Boyfriend, denying it, saying I ate them. That's the first step that I know. Turn the accusation around on me. He's also recording this podcast, so I'm really coming for him right now. You turn the accusation on me?
Oh, I smell a breakup. I smell a breakup over this, over these nuts.
Just let's just say we might be on the next episode of Judge Judy in small claims court.
Defendant.
Yeah. He ate my nuts. Oh, anyway, so that's how my week's been. And let's just say I've had a very fussy day because of it. Is it because of the nuts? I don't know. It's probably because my period's coming. And this week was just, not the week to have me lose my favorite nuts.
Combined with all of that, just apple meat tree, realizing we are our parents' offspring. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, yeah. We love our nuts. We love nuts.
That was a great tangent. The nut tangent.
The nut tangent. Everyone, we get so many emails about how funny you are, and I feel like I'm just not, like, am I not funny?
No, I'm like the bad one, and you're the one everyone loves because you're like sincere, and
but
everyone
I
loves
be,
that.
But I also, like,
and I'm like the weird one who makes jokes.
But I also think I'm funny.
And it's aggressive.
And I feel like on
nuts.
This podcast, I've become the serious. I feel like I've played the role of being sincere and serious, and now I'm just, I've done that every single time. But you guys, I'm funny too.
She is. Shireen
is funny.
I'm funny
too.
Shireen's got jokes.
I did comedy for like a hot minute before I realized I wasn't as funny as other people, but I was still funny.
Shireen's got jokes. Like that. I'm funny too, and I'm serious too when it comes to my fucking almonds going missing.
Yeah, of course. We'll have our priorities.
What's been more of a tragedy in my life than these goddamn almonds? I've been thinking about them all day.
Oh man.
I'm like trying to trick my roommate right now into believing that I know that he took them to see if I can break him. And speaking of breaking people, I'll really get into like torture techniques later.
What?
Yeah. My topic is weird.
Sweet.
And I might use these techniques on my roommate later to find out where my goddamn nuts are. You'll see. Waterboarding.
I did watch the corporate retreat episode of Corporate, a company retreat episode of Corporate, and it was hilarious. If you guys don't watch Corporate, it's so good. And I just recently caught up, and we have so many friends on it, and like, just, it's so, it's made by a bunch of LA folks that are just comedy people, and they're so funny, and I recommend it.
Yeah, it's made by a bunch of great comedians like Jake Wiseman, Matt Ingebretson.
Yeah.
Aparna Nancherla.
Marcella's
on
the
it.
Marcella, a guest of ours from a previous episode, she's on the season finale.
Yeah. Oh, Arden Marine's on the season finale.
Yeah.
Being like the worst like morning show.
So
like,
many
lush.
So many dope people are on it. I recommend you guys check it out. But also something, this is like kind of related, not really, but South by Southwest was happening in Austin this past week. But something else is happening in Austin that like no one's really talking about.
Oh, the bombings?
Yeah.
The random like
Donald Trump
bombings?
Hasn't mentioned it. Two people have died. A 17-year-old, his mom was injured. A 17-year-old died. He's like, he was a very amazing musician. What he did was irrelevant. He's still a 17-year-old who died. And then a 39-year-old died. They were both African-American. They both went to the same church. So it's, they're saying it's connected.
I think it's
either
connected.
Way, it's fucked up,
it's
and
got,
no one's fucking talking about it.
It's got Unabomber vibes.
Yeah. And they were saying that the suspect, he has to be a skilled bomb maker because the construction of the bombs were too powerful and too sophisticated to have, like, someone that had just started making bombs.
We just gotta wait for that manifesto to drop.
Yeah, so I just think it's disgusting because he's obviously targeting, I mean, I think it's a hate crime. If it's even if people say like Austin is the most like progressive Texas state, like if someone in Austin is like killing black people for no reason, I don't know. It's disgusting. It's over the last 10 days, three bombs have exploded on the doorsteps of your home. They open the door and they fucking blow up. That's
Dude,
fucked up.
And you know what Unabomber did? He put them in mailboxes. So
yeah.
When you open your mailbox will blow off.
That's fucked up too.
Yeah, guys. This
but,
is real.
Yeah.
You know how radicalism starts? When the world starts falling apart.
Yeah.
Well, I mean Unabomber was more because technology was taking
over
and that motherfucker could not handle it.
But
Ted Kaczynski, you fucking sour milk-smelling motherfucker.
Yeah.
A lot of valid points, though, in his manifesto, unfortunately.
His manifesto was when I read it, I was strangely,
No, everyone was like, oh,
yeah,
damn,
I was like,
he makes some
yeah,
sense.
Exactly.
Fuck.
Like, oh, did I write
maybe,
this?
Maybe just don't bomb people, but
yeah, exactly.
Oh, I got some valid points here, sir. It's fucked up. It's actually, you're that. I know there's a comedian, I think Drew Michael, the comedian, has this joke that's like, you never want to be that guy at a party being like, well, yeah, I don't know, there are some valid points in this manifesto.
Even if other people are thinking it, you can't be the one to say it out loud.
You can never be the guy who's like, well,
let me tell you.
Especially if you're at all brown.
Yeah. You never defend a manifesto when you're brown.
But,
never defend a bombing when you're brown.
No. But so, yeah, let's get into it.
That just reminds me, I just bought tickets to Austin and they were so expensive. Should I have waited a week? Probably. Those tickets prices would have dropped. That's dark. Okay.
I think that is very dark.
What?
But I think it's so
hotel
sad.
Prices were also out of control.
There's nowhere safe. Like, schools are being shot at. You're not safe at school. You're not safe on your own doorstep. You're not safe at a fucking festival. You're not safe. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, everywhere feels so unsafe. And I mean, I can't even imagine being a student in this current, like, fucking mass shooter, like, generation.
You know where it is safe? Inside the covers on top of my Casper mattress.
Oh my god. Sponsored message.
Just kidding. They don't pay us to actually say it during the show.
No, we don't say it. No.
But I'm not going to lie. Like, that Casper mattress ad, like, I stand by it so hard. I love my mattress so hard.
It's a great fucking mattress.
I love my mattress. Yeah. I don't get out of bed sometimes. It's hard for me to come to work.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah.
I struggs.
Real
quick, I want to... Have you heard about the, I think I sent you this, the princess of Dubai's ruler,
yeah.
Sheikh Mohammed? She
what the
fled
fuck?
The country. She got smuggled out by a French spy, and she's currently on some yacht on the coast of India. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that. But she, or like, apparently her father, because she was like really like rebellious and causing trouble. Her name is Sheikha Latifa. She's 33 years old. She was secretly jailed for 3 years and drugged in a hospital by doctors.
What?
Jesus Christ. That takes, like, overprotective Middle Eastern father to the next level.
That's insane. What?
Yeah.
Why?
She's one of 30 children of the Dubai king.
Oh my God.
Who has six wives.
That makes me annoyed. Don't be a fucking stereotype,
dude. Isn't it so crazy, like, how intense the rulers of Dubai are, yet it's, like, just the most over-the-top place?
I've been to Dubai, and it's so opulent and extravagant, and honestly, it made me kind of sick. I'm really happy a place like that exists in the Middle East, because it's, like, a beautiful place for tourism, but it's so capitalist, and I'm just, like, not that kind of person. It was like Las Vegas on acid in the Middle East. But also Muslim, so I guess nothing like Las Vegas at all, but it's just so opulent. And I do have to commend Dubai, because it's not any oil money. There's no oil money in Dubai. It's all tourism, and they've like really constructed a really prosperous nation out of it. But compared to other places, even in the Emirates, let alone like the Middle East, it's so extravagant. And yeah, the people just go to malls to like get air conditioning and hang out in malls. It's just it's a lifestyle that I'm not a fan of, but I can see why it's so appealing to so many people, and I'm glad it exists. I think. I mean, it's a progressive place.
I mean, that guy has a very the father king. He has an interesting profile because he's like really good friends with the Queen of England.
Mm-hmm.
Like they both love horse racing. So he's got this weird, like, public persona that seems decent, but then has this very intense private life where he's hiding all his children.
Yeah.
Fucking guys, it is so hard out here being the daughter of immigrants.
I know.
I mean, not that I could ever understand, because my parents would never drug me, but
crazy.
Quite sheltered by them.
I was very sheltered. Yeah. I think a lot of immigrant children, especially Muslim immigrant children, can be sheltered.
Yeah, this is some next level shit, though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sorry. I just wanted to bring that up.
If we talk too much, we might get another bad review about how we're too conversational. So our next episode will be called We Are Too Conversational.
Also, we want to make it quite clear that we're not anti-Semitic. So whoever's sending out goddamn emails directly to How Stuff Works and telling them that we are anti-Semitic, here's my thought, okay? Let me just say this. We go after governments who do evil shit. We don't go after certain types of people.
Absolutely not.
We don't give a shit what Jewish people of any world or any country do. I don't give a shit. Live your life. When I'm talking talking shit about Israel. I'm talking shit about the government.
I'm
saying this government is evil, just like when I go around and say Saudi Arabia's government is evil, and we talk about Syria's government being evil, and occasionally we talk about Iran, even though, you know, my deal.
But
and
people get so worked up about any bad talk about Israel because it's seen as anti-Semitic, but I'm sorry if your worldview was biased and you can't have anything bad talk about Israel.
Well,
but
I'm here to. I just
we talk
say,
about facts. We bring you the facts.
Don't come at us and say that we're going after a Jewish government, making us anti-Semitic, when at the same time we're going after Arab governments. And don't be all like, oh, well, you know, it's anti-Semitic to go after that, because you are actively ignoring that we are going after Arab governments as well. So don't act like it's okay to go after Arab governments because they're Arab, but it's not okay to go after, like, an Israeli government because they're Jewish. So don't even come at us with that shit.
Also, remember...
Well, I won't. I'm not
we
really
are Semitic.
Whatever.
Anti-Semitic. Semitic means we are from that region. Technically, Anna and I, we're Semitic. So we're not anti ourselves. We're anti.
We're all Middle Eastern and we all have evil governments. Yeah. We go after all the governments that are evil.
Also, the U.S. government isn't that much better, you turds. Like, come on. Someone did tweet at us and defended Zionism. Here's what I want to say about that. I can appreciate, and I also, there was a really good email that was sent to us about maybe having a Israeli on that has a different viewpoint than us, and I'm totally up for that. I don't know if I would entertain the idea of Zionism, because Zionism is basically accepting the elimination of Palestine, and that's not...
It's aggressive colonialism, which we're just not about. We just don't care for it. We're not about, like, that basically way of being, like, trying to get around the fact that you're being racist by saying, no, it's about the people, and it's not about this, it's not about that. It's like, no. Any situation, any group of people who wants to eliminate another group of people, not okay.
And
we're not
Zionism has this view that the Jewish people are deserving of a land that is just land. They're not chosen. They're not, you know what I mean? So it's...
Which, you can have land, but don't go kill and, like, martyr other people for it.
And just, Zionism does not mean you are Jewish, and being Jewish does not mean you're a Zionist. Like, look up the word Zionism. It's a very particular view of the world, and especially of the...
And the person who tweeted us and said it needs to exist because of all the anti-Semitism? No, it doesn't.
No, it does not.
Your idea of Zionism is incorrect. Because you don't need to murder people because of all the anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
It kind of defeats the purpose. Like,
So
you don't get back at people by being even worse. Like, that's just revenge at this point.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. That's not what we need. We need to figure out a way to do it better.
Also, just for the sake of this, I'm going to read the definition of Zionism. It's a movement for the reestablishment and the development and protection of a Jewish nation in what is now Israel. It was established as a political organization in 1897, it was established in 1897 before Israel was a thing. So they had it, like... The idea of Zionism and the state of Israel was always intended for Jewish people to go back to their land. And remember, it's not just the Holy Land for them. It's a Holy Land for Muslims. It's a Holy Land for Christianity. So Zionism, it pisses me off because it says you can't just choose a people. No one is fucking chosen. I'm sorry.
So... On that note, we'll be right back. All right, we are back. Sorry for that intense tangent.
So we're not going on a very brighter note, but I want to talk about something that was so at the end of February, the Dutch Parliament recognized the 1915 Armenian massacre as genocide. So, if you guys don't know about the Armenian Massacre, it happened towards the end of World War I, and up until recently, I mean, last episode I was talking about the Ottoman Empire. And so the Ottoman Empire was, as I said, it kind of disintegrated after the end of World War I. It was kind of divvied up again it was divvied up to French people and British people. The Armenian genocide is known as the first Holocaust because it happened before the Holocaust, and it was the Ottoman government's systematic extermination of 1.5 million Armenians who were mostly citizens within the Ottoman Empire and Turkey. The Republic of Turkey still denies the word genocide is an accurate term for these crimes. Mm. And in recent years, Turkey has been faced with repeated calls to recognize the term as genocide. And as of 2018, 29 countries have officially recognized the mass killings as genocide, as have most genocide scholars and historians. Also, what a sad thing to be a scholar of, just genocide. But Armenia is technically, it's a country now in the South Caucasus, is that how you say that? Caucasus region of Eurasia. Yeah. So it's located in West Asia. So, I mean, I feel like a lot of people only know Armenia because, or just the word, because like, oh, the Kardashians are half Armenian. I feel like that's like the majority of white America's relation to Armenia is like, oh, we have a...
But even then, I feel like outside of LA, no one really knows.
Oh, for sure. There are, yeah, Glendale has a good amount of Armenian population and, like, markets and stuff. And then we also have a little Armenia. But it is a very little talked about place. But so the end of February, the Dutch parliament finally recognized the 1915 massacre as genocide. And this is noteworthy because it was opposed by just 3 lawmakers out of 150. And this is further straining this relationship between Netherlands and Turkey, which had been tense because apparently the Dutch, they barred a Turkish minister from campaigning in Netherlands last year, and then they had him deported.
Because of this?
Because, so this is interesting. So last May, March or May? Last year, there's a Turkish minister in the Netherlands, and he said, I thought Nazism was dead, but I was wrong. Nazism is still widespread in the West, and the West has shown its true face. He was talking about the Netherlands. Okay. And so because of those comments, that was Erdogan's comments. So because of those comments, the Dutch people were like, we don't want the Turkish people in our country. So they deported the minister. They refused to have him speak at their, they had like a public, like a political event. And so the relationships between the Netherlands and Turkey have been very tense since then. So the fact that at the end of last month, basically, like,
so
February
22nd. So they kicked all Turkish people out, or what?
No, it was just that they escorted one prime minister to the border of Turkey and had him deported.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, as I said, Turkey has denied that the killings constitute genocide. Its foreign ministry, it strongly condemned the Dutch parliament's approval of the motion to make it genocide. And because they were saying that they admit that many Christian Armenians in particular, that were living in the Ottoman Empire, they admit that they were killed during World War I, but they argue that the figures, deny that the killings were orchestrated because genocide means like a systematic oppression or killing of someone, like very thought out, like this group of people are going to be eliminated. Turkey just says that a lot of them died because of the war.
Which war was this?
World War One, the end of World War One, which is when the Ottoman Empire kind of fell apart. But again, most scholars outside of Turkey do consider the killings a genocide or attempt to destroy a people in part or whole. A lot of people, why this is important is because the term genocide originated from this mass killing of the Armenians. A lawyer named Raphael Lemkin, he was the coiner of the word genocide, and he repeatedly stated that early exposure to newspaper stories about the Ottoman crimes against Armenians was key to his beliefs for the need for legal protection of groups. And this was the core element to the UN Genocide Convention in 1948. But he coined this term genocide because he thought there needed to be a term for the systematic elimination of people. Which is really interesting because I didn't know it originated in the early 20th century, basically.
What year did he coin it?
He coined the word in 1943. But the Armenian genocide is acknowledged to have been the first modern genocide because scholars point to the organized manner in which the killings were carried out. They say that they, The starting date was on April 24th of 1915. Ottoman authorities rounded up, arrested, and deported from Constantinople, which is now Istanbul, mm-hmm. to the region of Ankara, which is the capital of Turkey. And they deported Armenian intellectuals and community leaders, and the majority of them were murdered. Apparently, the genocide was carried out during World War I and implemented in two phases: the wholesale killing of the able-bodied men population through massacre and subjection of army conscripts to forced labor, and then followed by the deportation of women, men, the women, children, elderly, and the infirm, like the health, unhealthy. They had death marches leading to the Syrian desert.
And that's literally... They had them, like, in chains, walking them, right?
I don't know.
That's what I remember reading, but maybe I don't know.
I mean, it sounds pretty gruesome either way. But it's... I don't know. It's kind of... Yeah, it's a little interesting how it's never talked... I mean, I'm not saying one is more worthy of the other, but... We never even talk about it in any history, like any history lesson ever talks about this.
I think aggressively looked over, and I feel like a lot of my, like, knowledge on it came after I moved to LA. Because of the Armenian population here.
For sure.
They have the Armenian Genocide Parade.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's kind of when I started to be like, oh, like, this is some real shit. And then I remember, this is actually really weird, but the weed club I went to was ran by Armenians. And in West LA, and they actually one time when I like went there so often that I got to know them, like the couple that ran it, and the wife would actually tell me, like, she would explain things to me.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, I had no fucking idea.
Yeah, I met more Armenians in LA than I ever had before, and they're all so passionate for the most part about making sure you know the history. It was interesting, though, because Turkey, in their statements, Foreign Minister Sigrid Kaag, she told the Dutch television she urges the parliament to use utmost caution when applying the term genocide to past events. A Turkish statement in reply to the Dutch parliament recognizing the Armenian massacre as genocide, they made reference to the 1995 Srebrenica massacres, in which the victims were killed after being turned away from a Dutch-run UN.
I'm sorry, who were the people that were killed?
Srebrenica. Srebrenica. But basically, in to argue against the Armenian genocide being genocide, Turkey was saying, well, what about this? Which is when thousands had wanted refuge after the end of the Bosnian War, and the Dutch turned them away, basically.
And so those people are Bosnian?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think that thing I just spelled out was probably a city. Let me just look it up. I can't even... people are going to be like, you spelled this, you pronounced this wrong. Yeah, it's a town in Bosnia.
Got it.
I'm so paranoid about pronouncing anything anymore, because everyone ever got out, they always call me out. You know what? English is my second language, and also I'm dumb. But, Turkey, again, says that its attitude towards the events of 1915 is based on historical facts and legal norms. So, it's kind of interesting that they will always deny it. At the same time, I don't know.
That's the way, you know. It's the Middle Eastern way. You deny, deny, deny. Someone says something, you call them racist or anti-Semitic. That's how we do it, baby.
Yeah.
Ugh. Wow.
Yeah, because there's a website that was saying that mass atrocities and genocide are often perpetrated within the context of war, as if to make it more acceptable. The destruction of the Armenians was closely linked to the events of World War I. Fearing that invading enemy troops would induce Armenians to join them, in the spring of 1915, the Ottoman government began the deportation of Armenian population, and in the months that followed, they expanded the deportation zone. But remember from last week, the Ottomans were on the Soviet side, so I think that's why they were on the wrong side of the battle.
I'm curious. So when they first originally, the Turks,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
The young Turks, they were behind
Ottomans, the Ottomanians, the Ottomaniacs. Just coin that. You can have that, Shireen. when they went in originally to, like, attack Armenia, was it for land or what
they
was were, the...
They never attacked them. They just deported them and killed them.
Oh, so any Armenian who's in Turkey.
Yeah, because they didn't want them to fight on the other side. According to this, so they which never... I recognize as a bias website that I'm looking at right now.
They never went into Armenia.
It's...
Or did they never...
They did, and they deported them. I don't think they ever attacked the land itself. Okay. I'm pretty sure they just deported them and then sent them places to kill them. Kind of like the Holocaust, if you will.
Got it.
Because many like, consider it the first out. Holocaust of the 20th century, the Armenian genocide. But the Ottoman authorities, the Ottoman government was controlled by the Committee of Union and Progress, which was also called the Young Turks. And it was aimed to solidify Muslim Turkish dominance in the region. And so a lot of the victims ended up being Christian Armenians. It's but again, this website that I'm looking at is very biased to the Armenian side. I'm not saying it's incorrect, but I do recognize that there are two sides to every story. I definitely think there was a genocide, but, and the Young Turks were infamously evil, from what I understand.
Right. I just remember there was a lot of Armenians that went to Iran to be like.
I feel like they went everywhere. They had to disperse.
Because my dad grew up with like friends who are Armenian who just kind of like, became Iranian, or they like learned the language and just were raised as in Iran as Iranians, but their like ethnicity is technically Armenian.
Yeah, because the land that they did have, I think, kind of like decimated or whatever. Like it's not in Turkey anymore. So yeah, I just thought that was an interesting thing because I didn't realize that they were still arguing over that term. And this just happened last month, in the end of February, when the Dutch Parliament recognized it. So
what? I'm sorry. What's the date exactly?
This February 22nd of this year, this article came out about the Dutch Parliament recognizing the term.
Oh, okay. But what's the year the genocide happened?
Oh, 1915.
But what's the date?
The starting date is conventionally held to be April 24th, 1915.
All right, April 24th, 1915.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like April 24th is like an important day for Armenians. Maybe that's the big reason why.
Well, yeah, because usually they hold a parade in LA for it, where they like reminisce about
what
happened.
Yeah, it is. It's Armenian Genocide Remembrance Day is the 24th of April.
Got it.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's some shit.
Yep. So, I know it's kind of a downer, but it's important history, and it's never really talked about at all. So, at least now you know, you guys. Now you know.
Now we know. Now we know. Now we know. All right. We'll be right back.
And we are back from outer space. Just kidding. We are still on Earth.
Hi.
Hi. What do you have to talk to me about today?
Well... if any of you have been paying attention to the news,
and you get a car, and you...
nope. I have not.
Bees. Sorry.
So, earlier this week, Trump fired our favorite hashtag oil boy Rex Tillerson.
Rex Tilly Till.
Rexy Rex Till Tills. And he
hashtag oil boy.
He replaced him with CIA director Monk. Jesus. Mike Pompeo. Wouldn't even stick because he's a bad person. Mike Pompeo, who former CIA director, is now the Secretary of State. And this is bad for many reasons because, one, Monk Pompeo, why do I keep calling him that? Mike Pompeo is against the Iran nuclear deal, and he's also against the Paris Climate Change Agreement. And, So we have an idiot back in a conservative idiot back in charge, which,
surprise,
you know,
surprise.
Tillerson was conservative, but he also had a thinking brain for the most part.
Yeah, when you saw him in interviews, he was like coherent.
And he for sure called Trump a moron. We know that for a fact now.
No, he tweeted, he says, I hope Trump finds out about his impeachment via Twitter.
Yeah, because apparently he found out he was getting fired through Twitter.
Oh my God.
Even though they like, White House extremely denies it, but you know, the White House just lies.
I just love
everything.
As soon as you're fired, you're like, I hope he's impeached. Yeah. Like, no loyalty.
Fuck you. Yeah. So, this brings me to our new CIA director, who's been nominated by Trump. Gina Haspel, who was originally the deputy director of the CIA, but is now, if Senate approves her, this bitch will be the new CIA director. And can you believe it? She would be the first woman to become the director of the CIA.
Well, a woman director?
You're thinking, how progressive. But stop, because this bitch is so shady.
Like, remember Betsy DeVos? She's a woman too, and she sucks.
Yeah, Betsy DeVos should not have her job. Because those grizzly bears attacking teachers. Okay, so let me give you a little history on Gina Haspel. Gina Sherry Haspel.
That sounds like a name.
She's a bitch. She was appointed as the deputy director of the CIA by Trump in February 2017. And then on March 13th, this past week, she was nominated by Trump to succeed Mike Pompeo as the CIA director. And yeah, if she's confirmed, she will be the first female. But you guys might remember Gina Haspel as the chief of the CIA black site in Thailand in 2002, where many prisoners were tortured.
What the fuck?
She has been called a war criminal.
What?
Yeah, you don't even. Wait for it. This bitch is so bad. I shouldn't laugh, but she is bad. So yeah, she ran the like black site, which is basically like a site that's off the grid. No one knows about it, but we know about it. You know, we know about shit. It was codenamed Cat's Eye, and it was in Thailand. And she basically was in charge of the torturing of several Al-Qaeda terrorist members, including Abd al-Rahim al-Nishiri and the infamous Abu Zubaydah. Excuse me, Zubaydah. Sorry, I never know how to say these names. Anyway, during these... Okay, you know what? Actually, I'm going to focus mostly on Abu Zubaydah because I think he had truly one of the most fucked up tortures ever.
Oh no.
And this is before he was even put in Guantanamo, okay?
This is a really uplifting podcast.
So, this is wild. Okay. So, Zubaydah Zubaydah, he was a Saudi Arabian citizen who was raised in Saudi Arabia, you know, had some run-ins with like Al-Qaeda and training, and it's unclear what his history is. Like, there's so much speculation that came out through the CIA that mm-hmm. turned out to be untrue, and I'll get into that a little. But basically, he was arrested in Pakistan in March 2002, and he's been in the U.S. custody ever since. And he was in like a secret prison network by the CIA for about almost five years, and he was transferred among prisons in various countries, all part of like the U.S. program. So he, during his time in custody, he was like aggressively interrogated. He was waterboarded 83 times.
What?
He was subjected to numerous torture techniques. They forced nudity, sleep deprivation, confinement in small box that they would put insects in, deprivation of solid food. He would be stood to stand still for long, long, long hours.
What the fuck?
And this was all part of a new enhanced interrogation techniques that, like, President Bush put into, I guess, use, that he approved that these people could do it. Which, I don't know. These torture techniques, they were, apparently Defense Secretary John Mathis says this, like, enhanced shit never works. It's not an effective intelligence tool because it's like you're just, like, stressing people out to so aggressively that they will just tell you whatever you want to hear, and that's not useful.
So even though he said that, they still did it?
This was later.
Oh.
Because Trump wanted to bring these techniques back into use.
Oh my God.
And Mathis was like, no.
I remember that actually. What a fucking turd.
So back to what happened to Zubaydah. So, yeah, so he spent a total of 266 hours, which is 11 days and 2 hours, in a large coffin-sized confinement box, and then 29 hours in a small confinement box, which had a width of 21 inches, a depth of 2.5 feet, and a height of 2.5 feet. And apparently CIA interrogators told Abu Zubaydah that the only way he would ever leave the facility would be in a coffin-shaped confinement box. So, yeah. So, this is why they captured him for the most part. He allegedly served as Osama bin Laden's senior lieutenant and counterintelligence officer, like about the third or fourth highest ranking member of Al-Qaeda, managed a network of training camps, was involved in every major terrorist operation carried out by Al-Qaeda, including 9/11, engaged in planning future terrorist attacks against the U.S. And So Bush basically, the Bush administration used these statements,
right,
that apparently intelligence figured out to, justify the use of all these insane fucking
what the fuck
techniques. And then the worst part is nothing he told them was useful.
Wow.
They literally got nothing useful out of torturing him.
Well, fuck them. God. Damn.
Apparently, and now it's come out that apparently his whole Al-Qaeda history that they made and the connection was fictitious. They don't know. They say it was overstated. They say, like, there's actually a lot of people who were, tortured to admit that he was a part of this did so under intense situations, so they were just saying whatever they had to at this point. Yeah, so
torture is bad and we shouldn't do it.
Yeah,
damn, that's fucked up.
Yeah, so after they tortured him for a very long time, they transferred him to Guantanamo,
right?
And
he's still there.
Yeah, which I will get into in a second. All the videos of the torture were destroyed in 2005 on orders sent by old Gina Haspel.
Oh, so my God.
Not only was she basically in charge of all of this, she signed off on all the evidence being destroyed. And apparently it said they were to use an industrial strength shredder to do the deed. According to Jose Rodriguez, who was Haspel's boss and CIA director of operations for counterterrorism, in his memoir, he said the cable left nothing to chance. It even told them how to get rid of the tapes. So this bitch did not give a fuck. So that's Gina Haspel. So that's the woman who is potentially going to take over, the first woman to take over the CIA, basically destroyed a man. Also, Abu now only has one eye. He had two eyes before he went in to be interrogated.
That's so disgusting.
Yeah. While in custody, he lost his left eye.
This government is so...
Ugh! Yeah. He was also
We're no better, you guys. We're no better than any other country.
The things they subjected him to: beating, isolations, long time standing, just shit. They would play music so loud that it would just fuck with you for hours, and they would change your temps, where you were, you were super hot, then you were super cold, just fuck with you. And then, of course, no useful information was found, because that's the kind of world we live in. And the European Center of Constitutional Human Rights, that's based out of Berlin, they're an NGO, they've been pushing for Germany's public prosecutor to arrest Haspel for her role in the torture program and for being a war criminal.
Apparently, this publisher is offering a free ebook of torture report in response to Gina Haspel's CIA nomination.
Wait, what?
3 hours ago, apparently an independent book publisher is going to make it easier to read the Senate Intelligence Committee's report on the CIA's detention and so-called, quote, enhanced interrogation program. Because she's been nominated. So we might get a free ebook about this intelligence committee, the report about torture.
Oh,
what's
God.
Clear from the torture report is that Haspel helped develop or authorize and oversee what became one of the worst and most inhumane programs in the U.S. government history, Melville House sales manager Peter Clark wrote in a blog post on the company's website. It tarnished the reputation of America and disgusted sensible people everywhere. It was wrong and evil, and it didn't work.
Yeah, it was blatant, like what we heard about, blatant, like aggressive, like inhumane torture tactics.
Yeah.
It's what we all thought, like, I couldn't possibly be doing that. It's like, no, this bitch was actually there signing off and then be like, ooh, yeah, get rid of that evidence. But anyway, Abu Zubaydah, he recently had a board review hearing, which was like his first opportunity to make a case for his own release. Although he himself truly believes that he has no chance.
Right.
Because of like what his name is now connected to.
Mm-hmm.
He participated in what they call the periodic review process. But now he thinks he might actually have a chance to leave Guantanamo through this process. Part of the review is they go over everything that he was involved in, and they discuss like how high of a level of a cooperation has he had with staff. Basically, like is he on good behavior? How mm-hmm. does he act in his cell block?
Have we broken him yet?
How does he react? Well, no. These are like in Guantanamo. It's like basically any other parole hearing, but more intense because right. it's at Guantanamo. Like, could you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, how is he good with, like, working with other detainees mm-hmm. and all that, and maintaining order and working with the staff? And so apparently he completed university coursework in computer programming. So now they're, like, kind of scared that he could use that as a threat. Yeah, which is just really, like, people like this have no chance, and it's so fucked up. Because they're like, yeah. Well,
their life's over.
Yeah.
There's no...
They think, like, oh, well, he spent all that time because he was in jail learning to, like, program computers and read and do this and that. And it's like, what if he uses that to become a terrorist? And it's like, oh.
There's no acclimating. It's even... It's...
Yeah. Yeah, so really his chances of being released are not good, and... It's just like...
I mean, that goes for the majority of people, I guess, in Guantanamo.
Yeah. It's very hard to get out of Guantanamo yeah. once you go in. I shouldn't laugh, but it's some fucked up shit.
I mean, but Obama never closed it down, which is what he said he was going to do from, like, day one or something. So.
It's a process. That shit's a fucking process.
Don't make promises you can't keep, then.
Well, that's exactly what, like... Isn't that just what being, like, a politician is?
Yeah, well...
There's nothing you can actually do as a politician without trying to... Like, that's why Trump comes in and does all those executive orders. Because for the most part, Obama wasn't a little bitch and do everything executive yeah. order. He would actually try and get it through the judicial process, which is go through Congress, go through all the House. It's like, he tried, but everyone was blocking him. Yeah, yeah. In retrospect, sure.
Yeah, sure. Everything is easier when you look back.
Anyway,
That's that.
So, the... Jamil Jaffer of the American Civil Liberties Union has described Haspel as, quite literally, a war criminal. So, that's the woman who's going to run our CIA, maybe, possibly, probably, because Senate has nothing else going on in their lives.
What a little treat for us and this government.
For the most part, we don't even really know how involved he was with Al-Qaeda. That's the fucked up part, because most of it, they say, wasn't true. So... That's our world, you guys. You got a brown skin? You got a little self, a little mustache? You got a little bird?
You're about to lose an eye.
Oh, honey, that's that for you. That's just a southern person. Jesus Christ. So that's what I want to talk about. Just because it's so topical, because we lost old Tilly. Mike Pompeo, hashtag Monk Pompeo, had anything good to do. God, don't you just miss, what's his name? Comey?
Yeah, I just miss anyone that...
Apparently at the FBI store, they had mugs that said, Comey is my homie.
Aw.
Too bad. Should have got one. I don't know where the FBI store is, though. Seems like it.
I didn't know
secret.
There was an FBI store.
Well, yeah, you know, there's a gift shop for everything.
Comey is my homie.
Yeah, so that's been a pretty tight one.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't really have a lot of time to get personal, but we can get more personal next week. We took a lot of time to defend our views at the beginning of the show.
I think I would like to maybe try a less bummer episode. You know what I mean?
One day we will. But really quick, on that note, I really hope my roommate is listening. I've learned a few
torture techniques.
No, he doesn't, because he's the whitest person on earth. But I've learned a few torture techniques from reading all these articles. And let's just say I'm having a coffin mate. No, I'm just joking. Okay. You know, I'm just joking. I'm not going to murder my roommate over almonds, but we'll see.
He's the whitest man in America.
Could you imagine? It's like, da-na-na-na-na-na. Girl murders her roommate over almonds. Can you believe it?
I did see this thing on Instagram where it was like... 70-something-year-old woman trained... She was arrested because she trained her cats to steal from her neighbors.
And that's my future. Yeah, so exactly. Look out for that, ladies. Mama's coming to train her little kitty cats.
That's where I'll be in 40 years.
Yeah, training my cats. That's pretty funny.
So, yeah, if you guys have any thoughts about what we should talk about, by the way, you can tweet at us at
we hear everything you say.
Yeah, tweet at us, like maybe we can get personal.
Shireen and I run all our social media ourselves. We're the people always responding to you.
We love responding to you. You can tweet at us at ethnicallyamb, A-M-B, and then on Instagram we're ethnicallyambig, A-M-B-I-G. And you can follow us on Facebook too. You can like us on Facebook, just look up Ethnically Ambiguous.
Yep.
Our website is ethnicallyambiguouspod.com. That's where all the links will be in the footnotes section.
Footnotes, yeah. For you can get all our links for how we got all our info for today.
Yeah. I guess since we have like a tiny bit of time, I can shout out these nice emails we got.
Sure.
Yeah. Sabrina wrote a beautifully intricate long email. I loved it so much. Sabrina, you are amazing. She was talking about how she's a fellow brown girl who was artsy, and she's a first generation here with immigrant parents. And she says that she feels like we give her a voice. And she says, my family's origin is Indian, but her parents are born and raised in East Africa in the country of Uganda.
That was an interesting story. I was very fascinated.
Yeah, it's such a good story. And she talks about how her family immigrated here when her mom got separated from her family and came to the U.S. at 17 with her 15-year-old brother. And her dad was lucky to stay with his family. And it's like a complicated immigrant story, like so many of them. And she just went on to like be the best and talking about how she defends Syrian refugees at any chance she gets. And she appreciated that we talked about like mental health and like things that like how we grew up and stuff, because it makes her feel less alone. And that's honestly like the reason why we even started this podcast, so we can make people like us feel less alone. Because I feel like the things that we grew up feeling crazy about, like alien about, I think that can all unite us.
You know? I feel like most of the segments in this podcast, we just want to call You're Not Alone.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's how we felt when we were growing up. At least for me, I felt like a fucking alien. Like, I was so awkward. I was so different from all my other friends. I felt like a fucking alien. So...
I did too, but I was more like a Space Jam alien, like a Looney Tune.
those was more my aliens. Aesthetic. Yeah. I was just waiting for the mothership to come get me.
Yeah.
But I just really appreciate, all of you that send us emails, especially the ones that, like, I mean, this is the reason why we keep doing it, because if we resonate with even one person, it's worth it. So it's just kind of magical that the same feelings that made us feel isolated growing up are the feelings that can make us feel connected as adults. And then Matt Timber, we strangely are pretty popular with like straight white men, because every email we get once in a while, they're like, I am a straight white guy and I love your podcast, because they're learning so much. And we're teaching people, you guys. We're teaching people.
Literally all my mentions on Twitter are like straight white dudes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I appreciate Matt saying that he has been learning, like getting exposed to opinions of people who he might not have been a part of otherwise, or like exposed to otherwise. Because there's a wealth of knowledge out there that he's not exposed to. And then he says he has a Jewish girlfriend, and so he loves our passion regarding Israel. And he was the one that mentioned that it would be interesting to have a Jewish non-Zionist guest on to discuss the history and complexities of the region, which I'm totally down for. We should do that.
Barbara Streisand. Just joking.
Where is Barb? Where is Barb when you need her? She's probably cloning more dogs.
So relatable.
Thanks for everyone. Thanks for emailing us and tweeting at us and just being the best. You're appreciated more than you could ever know.
Truly. Oh, you got my ass.
I bite that ass.